This time of year, the school calendar really starts to fill up. Spring activities, testing season, and that final push toward the end of the year. It's a great moment for kids to stay focused and build confidence in what they're learning. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork, from math and reading to writing and science. It's designed for pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace. IXL makes it easy to stay on track with instant feedback and clear explanations, skills organized by grade level, and simple progress tracking. It fits into even the busiest spring schedules. It's also trusted nationwide. In fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You are listening to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You with Ashley Parrish and Jessica Pfeiffer,
a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. As always, we are joined by psychologist and author, Dr. Ken Wilgus.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back. On today's episode, we'll be discussing temperaments in teenagers.
Yes, we will.
Did I say
that
right?
It's kind of loaded.
It is. But before we get started, I have a question from a listener.
Hashtag asking for a friend.
From a friend. So it is like spring semester. And I feel like every new year for the first couple months, there's tons of youth events. Like there's youth conferences and a weekend here, a trip over there. Like there's so many really great opportunities for our teens to go to these different youth events.
Yeah.
Are we obligated to send them to all of them? How do we discern which one's most important? I mean, they're wanting to do something fun and good. They're with the youth of the church, right? Like they're going to learn about God, but like, how do we,
you know, and of course the spring we're in coming up on now, we may very well have a natural relief to that because there'll be fewer conferences thanks to COVID. And so it may be that for the next few months, easier than usual to, you know, say yes to whatever isn't canceled. That may be good, but your question, you're right. It happens, especially in the spring. You know, I think it probably depends on the early adolescence or late adolescence. So with no matter what the adolescence is, the answer of why can't I make this decision myself is not, no, it is not yet. Or, you know, can I do this? No, not yet. So I think in early adolescence, it's good to make sure that you are, listening to what's important to them. Why is this important to you? Share your concern about, okay, but we've got these three other things. And so that as long as the teenager and even early adolescence feels that they are having real input, then you can still do some limiting. But I would say by middle and late adolescence, like 15 and older, you really do want to, as soon as you can, switch to, look, I'm not going to decide this for you, but you start thinking about it's this much money. So, you know, if you pay half, in other words, put the responsibility with freedom to make that choice always comes responsibility. And so you can put the responsibility of paying for it, paying for half of it. You know, any fallout from school is going to be your deal. You can put more of that on them by, you know, later adolescence. So always communicating, always trying to take seriously why it's important to them. But with early adolescence, you might need to say, no, I just don't really think so. But by later, try to shove it off on, look, that's up to you. But here's the part you're going to have to manage yourself and do it more like that.
It's funny. There's this one coming up and it's called Hot Hearts. And I had this initial like John Chris reaction in my head. You know, that comedian?
No.
He makes fun of Christians. He's a Christian and he makes fun of Christians. He's really funny.
We need more of that.
But in my head, when the conference is called Hot Hearts and I'm like, nope, that sounds too spicy.
Kind of racy.
Who makes it? Go to Hot Heart. There's Passion. Isn't that another one?
That is one.
Yeah, it is.
You're making these names up. Next year,
why can't it be like
on.
Celibacy?
Turned On Conference.
I'm going to sign you up for the celibacy weekend.
You have to wear these red gowns with white nuns' habits. That's
right. But you're not going to Hot Hearts. You can cross that off your calendar.
Yeah.
That's funny. All right. So let's talk about personalities and temperaments and that sort of thing, Dr. Ken.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's important is that I want to talk about being able to identify what is the basic things that are my teenager's temperament, their personality, mm-hmm. Versus things that they really have control over. So that comes down to temperament. Now, mm-hmm. As you may or may not know, when an infant is born, we've identified three basic temperaments. And this was identified, among others, by a researcher named Stella Chess, who I met actually and worked with her for a while, but that's how old I am. Like, that was a long time ago. She was older.
Probably three. You were one of the infants she studied.
No. Thank you. That's good. Let's not say I was in graduate school though as an infant. That's good. We'll go with that. And Stella Chess and another researcher identified in infants the three basic temperaments, which is kind of sounds odd, but it's easy babies, slow to warm up babies, and difficult babies. Mm-hmm. And those actually hold true, that, you know, a kid mm-hmm. that is easy when they're born is pretty much easy through the first year or two. That slow to warm up kid was news, you know, that some people think, well, that's difficult. It's not the same as a difficult baby. It's one that can be managed well. And then the difficult one, you know, is the one that, you know, never really hugs well, kind of arches his back when you try to be affectionate, doesn't sleep well, all those things. Mm-hmm. So if you can think about kind of a basic sort of this starting point, that's this pipe and you drop a marble in it, it goes first through one of three choices that's, and then that expands out into other options that, you know, so it starts in this basic rut that is their temperament. And then mm-hmm. as they get older and develop and they have more and more experiences, then you see different aspects of personality, and it ends up really in what we call the big five. But are you with me so far on the, have you ever heard of those three basic temperaments?
Oh, I mean, yep. I have several of each of them. Yeah. With yep. seven kids, I can name a couple of each of those.
And it's really mm-hmm. not hard to admit, mm-hmm. to envision it, right? You're like, oh, mm-mm. you mean you're talking about this kid of mine.
Uh-huh.
And mm-hmm. yeah.
There are always those people that think that having children is so easy because they had their first one and it was an easy baby.
I know.
The next one they have is their super hard one. And then they realize what the rest of everyone was talking about.
Why have you done this to me?
Yeah.
You know, I don't even know. It's true though, that I hear that a lot, that my oldest was much easier than my second. I don't even know if that's research true or not, but, mm-hmm. but you end up then with what the next step is, that temperament leads you into essentially what we would call the big five personality traits. The big five, the reason we call that is, you know, we in psychology study lots of stuff, but there have been five dimensions to personality that have really held up over a long period of time and across cultures. And so your traits, your basic trait then develops into more kind of more, I guess, extensive personality factor. The big five is conscientiousness, openness to experience, neuroticism, I'll explain that, extroversion, and agreeableness. So those are things that you can test for, and they do tend to, you know, lay out, and they are fairly stable. Conscientiousness is fairly, I think you can kind of get that. High levels of thoughtfulness, good impulse control, kind of goal-directed. This is the generally kind of ordered kid that, you know, is fairly careful to do what they'll say, and they remember stuff. It's the kid you mm-hmm. want. and then there's the other trait is openness to experience. And that's, it's kind of imagination and insight together, having a broad range of interests, being more adventurous when it comes to decision-making. Kids that are more creative, yeah, I'll try it, let's do it, we can probably figure it out, versus the kid that's very much more concrete, I don't know how to do this, it won't work, that sort of thing is kind of an openness to experience. Mm-hmm. Neuroticism, which is, I think, poorly named, but partly because it's much more higher in females than males, so that makes it sound bad, It is basically characterized by sadness, moodiness, and emotional instability. It's very much emotional person that is influenced very much by their emotions. Mm-hmm. And that's a stable, relatively stable trait. Extroversion, introversion, we all know what that is. Like the extrovert is someone who's energized by being in the company of others. And the introvert, you know, is the one that you're energized by being alone. You've heard that sort of thing before. And then the last one is agreeableness, which is signs of trust, altruism, kindness, and affection. They just are, easy with people, tend to be more involved easily and agreeable. So those are basic temperaments that you can begin to see. If you can identify that in the three temperaments in your baby, then by childhood, you can kind of see some of these big five as to where they fit in that. But again, the point here is that what you're seeing is basic, practically physiology in their personality. This is kind of how they were born and how they're developing. Mm-hmm. So you knew which of your babies, you can decide quickly which one of them was which three. But of these big five, is that a little harder to label which kid is in what level of these different big five temperaments or characteristics?
I don't think that it's difficult. I think having seven, I can see so clearly the differences. Does that make sense? But it's mm-hmm. probably because I have seven. If I had two, maybe it'd be a little harder.
Yeah.
But since I have seven, I have a really good mix of all of these.
You can watch this stuff happening mm-hmm. in real life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, that's actually a good point. Yeah.
Your scale might be even off a bit because you don't have kids with entirely different personalities and experiences. They were still, you know, kind of raised in the same home, that sort of thing, where they have similar life experiences, similar parenting styles, that sort of thing, compared to someone who maybe grew up in Africa, had completely yeah. different parents, had yeah. a different life experience, different culture, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with my kids, I can think of, for example, conscientiousness. I can tell you which kid was the conscientious one more than the other. And it's, I always say, those are the kids you take credit for. Like I did that.
Yeah.
But you know full well that no, you know, that's kind of how they were.
Yeah. Yeah. We have one like that. And this kid is a really just easy kid to parent. And his teachers love him. And always, you know, say such great things about him. And I've gotten to the point where I'm just like, hey, God did that. Like he
right.
really doesn't need me.
That's just being honest. Yes. Yeah. Which is interesting that it's a he because conscientiousness is generally higher in girls. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. So those different that, you know, extroversion, introversion, you know, right. One other thing I thought you were going to get at, Jessica, which is it's also sometimes difficult to identify it because of your temperament.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, it goes through I've seen families that are very introverted and their teenager is very introverted. And when I talk to the parents, they're like, what are you talking about? He had basically the same social life they had, which was none, mm-hmm. you know, so it was harder. I mean, they could see it, but it changes through, you know, the lens of how you see things. Mm-hmm. But the yes. key here is these are tendencies and traits that are fairly inherent by now. Mm-hmm. And because when you get to adolescence, you get a different aspect, which is now these temperaments may be basic, but especially in early adolescence, there's a big shift in suddenly really trying to control that and deal with these parts of their personality that they can tell they don't like. Mm-hmm. And we call that character. Like one mm-hmm. study said, temperament together with learning experiences from different life events is responsible for what people make of themselves intentionally. And that's what mm-hmm. they call character. And so you'll see, especially in 13 and 14 year olds, very often a sudden shutdown of personality traits that you might've liked, but they mm-hmm. are now very self-conscious and they make sudden efforts to alter that completely so that they would be more acceptable in their own self-conscious eyes. A common one that I can remember is that being ADD myself, I was what we call a big talker. And I would say stuff. And, you know, by 11 and 12, I would say dumb stuff. Like, you know, something that as it's rolling out of my mouth, I knew that it was going to be offensive to the person I'm talking to, you know, whatever this stuff. And it was funny maybe until 11 or 12, but boy, I can remember consciously at 13, an inner voice saying to myself, Kenneth, just shut up, just stop, never speak again. How about that? Just don't, you know, because I was an extroverted kid, you know, impulsive. But by adolescence, I hated that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's real disappointing for parents, that they may have a real fun, outgoing child that all of a sudden has shut everything down in this early attempt to build character, to change, to alter, if I can, how these basic temperaments are kind of presented to the world. Does that make sense?
For sure. Yeah. I've seen it in my own kids and I've seen it myself. I think sometimes as a parent, you maybe influence a lot of that.
Yes.
A self-awareness where you look at that kid and you think, you're 14 now, you should stop that. You know, that's enough of that. That was funny when you were a kid, but you're real irritating now.
Yes, that's exactly right. And the point is that what we look for in our adults is the development of character. Mm-hmm. So often we talk to parents of children that are really striving very hard to answer whatever the needs of their temperament are. If I just have a rambunctious boy who's real energetic and impulsive, it used to be that there was a lot of, you know, pretty heavy-handed discipline on that child because, when I was growing up, social kind of consciousness was a really big deal. Now you'll sometimes see a 5-year-old running laps around the restaurant, maybe not that bad, but I mean, causing lots of disturbance because the parents have decided that, you know, this is kind of how he is and we don't want to interfere with that. And they kind of allow those traits more and more to just kind of unroll themselves as they are. And there's a balance there, obviously. If you over control a child, if you over shame a child, speak up, they can't hear you, come on, quit. That's hard on their personality. But the other side that I think is less common now is if you overindulge that and strive too hard to make their childlike world fit whatever they need, then it makes it harder for them to develop the self-discipline necessary for just even early and basic interactions with other people. And then it sets them up, if they're not really taught the right kind of self-control, that's when you really get young adolescents that are suddenly mortified by what was just fun in our family. And we never minded that you run around and you never sit at dinner and then it becomes really difficult because they'll suddenly really want to change themselves and be more acceptable in their own eyes. Right. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's true. If you don't tell them that kind of stuff at home or address it at home and they go off to school and they do have offensive behavior or irritating behavior, then the teacher's going to come down on them or their fellow students or friends are going to come down on them and say, you can't do that. That's ridiculous.
None of them will come down on them as hard as their own self consciousness will. It'll multiply it.
Right. Well, raising little ones, I was always intentional and still am because I have little ones about encouraging them in their strengths of, you know, what they're good at, you know, if they are outgoing, but also being aware as a parent of what their weaknesses were and trying to pour in, trying to cultivate those weak areas, like maybe if they were shy, you know, like easing them into certain things, not necessarily changing who they were, but being aware of their struggles and their weaknesses.
Right.
But I do love the fact that you talk about instances in life and how life events help mold and shape that character. Because I think too often as parents, we think that it is our job to either change who God made our children to be in some sort of way to fit an idea in our head or society. Right. But that so much is life experience that teaches them things that us telling them what to do or not to do is so natural and organic in a way that we could never produce that outcome.
And like so many things that's important to this podcast is that you need to pay attention that by adolescence, how that interacts is changes. All of a sudden you have this other kind of parent voice that your child or your teenager is saying to herself or himself. And very often that voice is very shaming, very negative. And it's the parent's job really to try to come alongside a teenager. And number one, not try to shame them out of this, like you need to be what you're not. But instead, and then in early adolescence, sometimes you have to encourage them that, look, yeah, you do say occasionally dumb stuff, but you know, it doesn't define who you are. It's your 13-year-old go, yeah, it is. It's terrible. It's, you know, whatever. So you have to kind of come alongside them and help them to develop their character, which so, and that's in two different stages. So in early adolescence, 13, 14, research shows that character, that self-regulation develops rapidly in early adolescence to try to self-regulate temperament in accord with personally valued goals shaped very much by peers. They really want to be like their peers. A happy, generally happy teenager may suddenly be present surly because that's kind of what everyone's doing. The good news is that changes by middle and late adolescence. By 15, 16, that self-regulation is not as dependent on how everybody else sees me. They begin to kind of develop their own view that is shaped by more than just their immediate peers. So it gets better, you know, from that immediate kind of shutdown, but then to still self-regulate. What that means, though, is that a parent that really knows their teenager and can see the characteristics that they are most ashamed of can help them to kind of, hopefully, if you're releasing, like we talk about planned emancipation, you should have good enough communication to be able to talk about, you know, like the kid that is not open to new experiences, that just everyone's going and they're going to ride the roller coaster. I hate that. And so forth. You know, it doesn't help that teenager. First of all, you're a young teenager, not even going to admit it. They're just, no, it's dumb. I don't want to go. What do you mean you don't want to go? All your friends are going. Why would you not? It's just dumb. Is this possibly because of roller coasters? Shut up. I don't want to talk about it. You know, whatever. But trying to, instead of talk them out of that, help them to know, how are you going to negotiate that? Like, buddy, you've always had a hard time with newer stuff. And so, you know, what can you do that would minimize this? Like, can you find another friend that has the same thing and both of you not go on the roller coaster, whatever, but trying to get in with them rather than them just sort of hating themselves for having this characteristic. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Cause I think with little kids, like we think of it as molding our children, right?
Yes.
To who God wants them to be. But once they hit adolescence, like just like everything else, that doesn't work and you have to shift. And so it's more like you're kind of coaching, you know, like that's, you say, you're coming along, you're coming along beside them and not shaming them, because I mean, like we're not perfect as parents, you know, like we have our own strengths and personality flaws and weaknesses, and we're still growing too. And I think all the time, sometimes we expect more from our kids, our teenagers, than we expect from ourselves. You know, like we expect them to navigate situations and handle it so well and come down on them hard if they don't, but not realizing, you know, how much we mess up throughout the day, or maybe say something stupid ourselves. Or
and these, and these are basic personality traits that they can shape and kind of learn different ways to manage it. But you can't change your stripes. And that's the important. I can't tell you how many introverted teenagers I've talked to that are so sick of themselves that, you know, I hate the way that when I get to in a group, I never say anything. And it's like this inner director that's going, cut, this is terrible. You're terrible. Well, it's not that simple. You know, you have we'll talk about, you know, this is hard for you. Remember, it wears you out when you get with a group. And you remember when those days you've taken a nap after you come home from school from having to deal with that, that's you. So, right. You know, what are times that you are social, but it's not that hard? And just trying to help walk through that. And again, mm-hmm. I'll get back to one thing we said earlier. One of the hardest is when your teenager has a personality trait that you haven't coped well in yourself.
Yes.
And you'll have that shaming voice that you've always said to you, and it'll surprise you how much, like, wow, I was kind of mean about that. And you might look into, well, I think that's very possibly because I have always shamed me about that. And that's why I'm not a very good coach in mm-hmm. this particular aspect. Mm-hmm. Right?
You might push them even harder because you think, I don't want them to end up like me.
Yeah,
I want
yeah,
them to
exactly.
be my age and still struggling with this.
You know? Right.
And if you have a good marriage, you can try to help each other with that. I have a good marriage and we're not great at helping each other. But, you know, when she tells me, you know, I think that you were getting on to him because of how you feel. I didn't take that very well. So be gentle, but you can try yeah. to point that out to each other, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's why I kind of found reassurance in the fact that life lessons teach you a lot and grow your character, because my oldest daughter is a lot like me. And I've had those thoughts, like Jessica said, like, I don't want her to, you know, make the mistakes that I made because right. this was our personality. And
right.
Regret things we said or the way that we acted or responded. But then I think back on myself and I'm like, well, gosh, sometimes when I misspoke or said something, like that's the greatest lesson I learned
right.
through that hard conversation. And so know that it's going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It yeah. will be. And knowing that your younger adolescent will not be the same as the older adolescent. They're mm-hmm. same self as older. It gets better. And the parent's job, the whole point of today is to walk along with that and mm-hmm. not try to contribute to extra shaming. You cannot change your spots. Temperament starts from birth and develops mm-hmm. into these basic ruts that you kind of walk in. Managing that is not the same as trying to reinvent yourself. And it gets better as they get older.
Right. So I heard this analogy whenever several years ago, and it really helped me with my young kids, but it's the same, you know, for teenagers, was that some kids, like if you have two kids, one's a microwave and one's a crock pot, and you realize that one is a microwave and one is a crock pot, and you use them accordingly. You yes. couldn't put a raw chicken breast in a microwave and expect it to turn out well.
Yes.
You know,
and I don't know. Is that true? I don't know.
Jessica gets it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But to understand that if you wanted, you know, a soft tender chicken breast, you would put it in a crock pot because it cooks slowly. Whereas a microwave is instant.
Yeah.
And, that as a parent, it's not your job to flip over the crock pot and rewire it so that it works the same way as a microwave.
Right. Right.
So
right.
That's not your job, that that's you have right. a crock pot and you have a microwave, and to realize that and to use them accordingly mm-hmm. is wisdom.
And to, and to add on to that then is, how do you respond when you find your teenager trying to flip their own crock yeah. pot over and rewire it and try to help them to not do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought crock pot and microwave was the difference between sexuality interest between men and women. Didn't I always hear that?
That's an yes. oven and a microwave.
Oh, oh, oh.
Totally different.
You know, I think too, as a parent, it's important to remember that my kids are hardwired a certain way, and mm-hmm. that does not give us an excuse to, you know, sometimes be stuck in our ways or be a certain way. Oh, I'm this way, so I can't change anything about me. No, God can still work on us and change things that are offensive or difficult or hard about our personalities that make it hard to be in good relationships with other people. So leaving room for growth and all of that, but also recognizing that, yes, certain things are just going to be more of a struggle for my kid than maybe they were for me, or maybe they're the same struggle that I had, and it's frustrating to watch someone else deal with the same things I have.
And always remember, that is how character is developed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, this has been a fun conversation. I'm glad we talked about this. I'm going to think about this today as I go through my day watching my kids and taking note of the things right. that I think, oh yeah, this has been the same since they were little. I probably should lay off that a little bit. Stop being irritated so much. That's just the way they're wired. So thank you guys.
Thanks for joining us today. Hit the subscribe button so you won't miss an episode. Also, leave us a review. This is how other listeners find our podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Feeding the Mouth.
We appreciate you and would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, thoughts, or ideas about what we've discussed today, please email us at podcast@feedingthemouth.com.
This time of year, the school calendar really starts to fill up. Spring activities, testing season, and that final push toward the end of the year. It's a great moment for kids to stay focused and build confidence in what they're learning. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork, from math and reading to writing and science. It's designed for pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace. IXL makes it easy to stay on track with instant feedback and clear explanations, skills organized by grade level, and simple progress tracking. It fits into even the busiest spring schedules. It's also trusted nationwide. In fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.